Good to have you all here today, and I was not expecting the snow this morning. Of course, I don't expect snow anytime, but I was surprised by that. So, we're glad that you're here, and we're continuing in on our series entitled Commit Your Way to the Lord. And this is used out of the Psalm 37, verse 5 passage that says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it." This is a reminder to us for this series that we're getting into. And remember last week was, we all need help, right? We all need help. And so the lesson for today then is something that we all do from time to time, but really ought not to, is we play God. We play God. And I'm thankful that there is a God, and we're not it. We're not Him, right? And so as we look at that, and so this is what our focus for today is, and how we can help our lives. And we may say, oh, I wouldn't play God. Well, I think as we develop this message this morning, we might see that we're a little more into that role than we think we are. And hopefully we can learn to adjust that. But be reminded by our verse there in Psalm where David says, commit your way to the Lord. It doesn't say commit your ways to the Lord. It says commit your way to the Lord. There is one way to the Father, Jesus tells us in John. But at the same time, contrary to popular belief, I heard it numerous times this past week, different people say, well, there's multiple ways to heaven. There's, you know, a million ways to Jesus. But that's not what the Bible says. And so if we're going to make that happen, then we need to make sure that we commit our way to the Lord, to His way, then put our trust in Him, and He will make sure that it is accomplished. It doesn't say, trust in the Lord, and then good luck with that. It says that trust in the Lord, and He will do it. So we're going to look at playing God this morning. How many times in the church do we look at the first chapter of Romans, for example, to refute the worldly, wicked, and the evil that goes on? We like to do that. But remember, who was the book of Romans written to? The church. It was written to Christians. And so when it's there telling, giving us insight on this, yes, it is giving us a look out to the world. But at the same time, maybe we struggle with some of those same things as well. But there are things in that first chapter that as Christians is a part of us, unfortunately, too. So take a look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that we are without excuse." That there is just a small reminder to us that as we did last week, and we look to the left and we look to the right, we can do that again today. And it's a reminder to us that we ourselves, or that anybody we know, is not God. Those things do not fit us in description. They fit Him. And we should not be trying to play God. But we play God by not taking Him seriously. Right? That whole love your neighbor thing. Did you really mean that, God? Or is that just a joke? Right? What about love your enemies? Not just your neighbor, but love your enemies. Now, wait. There's something to that. There's got to be something different to that that we're missing. We don't take God serious by not honoring Him as we should. We don't take him serious by not giving thanks as we should. We don't take him serious. And unfortunately, there are many ways that we are exactly like those in the world in which we live in. Outside of the fact that we may claim God or we may claim to be a Christian, what makes us different from the world many times? We look the same. We dress the same. Many times we listen to the same music. We watch the same movies. We conduct ourselves in the same. So what makes us different than the world? Do we take God seriously? I pray that we will. And there's four things that we want to look at here in this first portion, and then four things we want to look at in the second session on how do we play God. Remember, in the Old Testament, the question was asked when God says, "You have robbed me." And the question then from the people were, how did we rob God? How do we rob God? Well, so the question that we want to look at today is that I'm proposing is that we play God. And you may say, well, how do we play God? I'm thanking you for asking that question this morning, because I got four areas in which we like to play God. The first one is we are all about controlling our persona. We are all about controlling our persona. And what you're going to find is in these four things that we're going to talk about here on this first portion are controlling issues. And see, we try to control things because we want to play God. Right? We want to play God. And so this is controlling our persona. The fact of the matter is, we spend a lot of time wanting to control what other people or how other people think of us. Don't we? We do not want other people to really know what we're like. We play games. I know Josh mentioned last week in his high school class, they talked about removing the masks. We've all seen the commercial where the people come into the room wearing the mask that struggle with certain depression and anxiety and things like that. And who hasn't put on the mask from time to time? So we all wear masks. We all pretend. We all fake it. That's why, you know, especially in family situations, you can argue and bicker and complain all the way to church. And soon as the door opens for the car, it's all right, kids, straighten up. We're at church now. Right? Because we want people to see certain sides of us, and we want to be able to hide other parts. We like to deny our weaknesses, and we deny our feelings. How many times when asked about something, we'll respond with, "I'm not angry." Right? We proved that point. "I'm not upset. I'm not worried. I'm not afraid." We do not want people to see us for the real us. Why is that? Because if I do, if I open up, if I become vulnerable, and I tell you and I show you exactly who I really am, and you don't like it, bummer for me, because I'm all I got. Right? And so I want to control what you think of me. So we try to hide, and we try to control our image. How many of us have ever played God? Not only do we try to control our persona, but we also like controlling other people. We like controlling other people. It's like that man who for the very first time saw the universal remote control. And he thought to himself, "Well, this changes everything." Right? parents try to control kids? Don't be confused. Kids try to control parents. Wives try to control husbands. I didn't finish yet. Husbands try to control wives. People try to control other people. In probably most offices, there's office politics. We've got countries that try to control other countries. We use a lot of tools to manipulate each other. We use guilt as a means of being able to control somebody or situations. We use fear. But we don't always use negative things. Be honest. We use praise to try to control people. Some like to use the silent treatment. Some like to tell you exactly what's on their mind. Sometimes we control with anger. Sometimes we control with rage. But there is no doubt, each and every one of us in here tries to control somebody else for some reason or another. So it's controlling our persona. It's controlling people. How about this one? Controlling problems. Controlling problems. Right? And yes, even our own problems. We're great at this. We use the phrase like, "Don't worry, I can handle it." Right? It's not really a problem. You know who says those things? It's somebody trying to play God. There's a reason why we are told to pray without ceasing. Because who do we pray to? Jesus says to pray to like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, there's a reason why the Lord wants for us to pray continually, why Paul tells us to do that, is so that we can realize we can turn these things over and we don't have to do them. As a matter of fact, we're putting ourselves in a position that we shouldn't be in when we try to do that and control that. I can handle it. I'm okay. Really, I'm fine. Right? Which is code word for I am messed up and need all kinds of help. Right? We try to control our problems. You know, I don't think I need any help. I think I'm good. I think going to counseling would only confuse the situation. I think to look into God's word for the counsel that He has is, you know, I can deal with that myself. So we try to control our problems. We say this in many areas of our life. I can quit any time. So can we quit playing God? Can we quit any time? Because I venture to say we're told not to worry, and I know this guy does. And so when we're told not to worry, and we do, who have we taken the control out of their hands? God. Because of the last message of our series here is entitled, Let Go and Let God. But we have to open up those hands. We have to turn those things over to Him. Remember, we like to say, I'll work it out on my own. it's all right. But have you ever noticed that more times than not, when we try to fix a problem on our own, that problem usually gets way worse before it gets any better until we go get help from the one that ultimately gives the help. So not only do we control our persona, or we control people, and we try to control problems, then ultimately what all those things are about is trying to control our pain. You know why that is? Because there's everybody in this room, whether we want to admit it or not, has some sort of pain within them. And I'm not talking about aches and pains. Oh, my feet are killing me. Oh, my back aches. We know we all got those too. Right? But we're talking about some sort of a pain that bothers us. Some sort of a pain that separates us from the Lord. Some sort of a pain that we struggle with. And so we try to control that. Have you ever stopped to consider how much time in our own life that we spend running from pain? For example, you're walking through the store, right? Minding your own business. You turn down an aisle, and there they are. I don't know who they are, but you know who they are. Right? And we do what? If the cart had brakes on it, you would have locked them up. You would have threw that baby in reverse and peeled out down the next aisle. Why is that? We spend all this time then running from pain because we don't want to face that person. Been there? Done that? If you've never done that, then the people are running away from you. Okay, that's generally how it's going to go. Okay? You ever run away? You never see me in the store? I went the other way. No, I'm just kidding. All right. But as we see that, so we try to control those things. We try to control our pain by going the other way. We spend a lot of time running our pain, taking our pain. We know somebody else is going to be in a certain area, so we'll wait and go later. Right? Or we'll do this or we'll do that. We want to make sure that they have their opportunity so we don't have to. We run from pain. We try to avoid it. We deny it. We escape it. We reduce it. We postpone it. But sometimes we try to postpone our pain, maybe by eating, maybe by not eating. We try to postpone our pain by drinking, by smoking, by taking drugs, or by getting in and out of relationships. You'd be surprised at the amount of time we spend trying to get out of our pain. When the fact of the matter is, remember as we looked last week, Jesus came to give us ultimate rest. And we make this a struggle with ourselves. How many times you hear somebody say, you know, this relationship, whether it's with like a physical romantic relationship, maybe it's a job relationship, maybe it's a spiritual. This relationship is exactly what I need. This will really fill my void in my life. It'll make me whole. It'll make me feel significant. And then what happens? Oh, I guess that didn't work. That wasn't right. And it's kind of like we've talked before where when we try to find our identity in our work or things that we do, we're going to struggle. We're going to fail. We as individuals, we as men, we as women need to find our identity in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then it's not a matter of I'm a this or I'm a that or I'm a child of the one true King. Or however Matthew West says it. One true God, one true King, something like that. But as we look at it and we're reminded that bouncing from one relationship to another isn't going to help us. But we develop a compulsive desire to control our pain. Some become abusive. Some get angry. Other people become quiet and clam up. Some become critical. Some become judgmental. You know, you find most people that are judgmental about somebody else, that's because they struggle with their own pain. Can you believe that so-and-so does that? What usually means is somewhere along the line, either you did that and got in trouble for it, or you'd like to be doing it now, is what that usually means. And so we become judgmental to hide our pain. Maybe we get depressed. We put on that mask. We put on the covering. There are many, many different ways to control our pain. Pain comes when we realize in our quiet moments that we are not God and we cannot control everything that is scary. And what I'm saying is sometimes we need pain in our life to get reacclimated to where we need to be. This is going back some time. I did also see he's doing a current documentary on this individual with the same title. But for those that remember the old Saturday Night Lives with Chevy Chase when he did the news, remember what his saying was? Hello, I'm Chevy Chase. And you're not. What we need to do is wake up every morning and realize, hello, I'm Dave Atchley. And I'm not God. And I'm not God. You know, this is the first step in living for Christ, is realizing that we're not God. That we cannot get over sin. And that's what all of these things that I've talked about are. They're not just things that we struggle with. They're just not things that I need to do better on. These are sins that keep us from being effective Christians for Jesus Christ and His church. And until we realize it is sin, because see, it's easy to turn on the TV and watch Cops because you can tell what those people's sins are, right? But be honest, we in the church hide our sin a whole lot more than those that are on Cops, right? We've got it figured out. We know how to let you all know how it you think it is. And we all do it. So that's the thing. I don't need you to raise your hand and say, yeah, I've got this struggle. I know you've got a struggle. You know why? I've got a struggle. Struggles, right? And the Lord says we all have a struggle. And that struggle is sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. We all need help, as we looked last week. And so then, this week, as we're focusing on this, of playing God, is let Him, He is way better. I'm just letting you know. He is way better at being God than you and I are. Right? I mean, He's the creator of the universe. And we cannot get over sin on our own. And we have to face it. Don't deny it. As I said last week, we all need help. So, we look at those issues we like to control, and we don't do a good job at it. So, next question is, then, what are the consequences of playing God? What are the consequences of us playing God? I got four things I want to suggest for us here this morning. Four problems that always happen when we try to play God. Number one is there'll be more fear in our life. And I'm not talking about the good fear. I'm talking about the fear that we're doing wrong, and because, you know, we're told to fear God and have a good, healthy respect for Him. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about fear. When I try to control everything, I get afraid. Let's just go back to the very first man in the Bible. Right? Had one rule. And he decided he wanted to play God. Make up his mind on his own. Yes, I know, we know. Serpent came to his wife, but he was there with her, and he ate. He decided he wanted to be God. And then when real God comes on the scene, he says, after Adam gets afraid, "Where were you?" And Adam said, "I was afraid. I was fearful, and because I was naked, so I hid." At that time, he knew then at sin the difference between good and evil, just as God did. Do you think Adam wanted to play God after that? No. But it brought about fear. We are afraid somebody is going to find out who we really are. Remember that? They're going to find out that we're fakes. We talk about fake news, right? How about fake Christians? They're going to find out that we're phonies. Somebody's going to find out that you really don't have it all together. Right? Don't worry, we already know. And neither does this guy. We're not perfect. But for these reasons, we don't want to let anybody get close to us because we've got them all bluffed. Because if I let somebody in, if I become vulnerable, they will find out how scared to death I really am. And so we fake it and we pretend it and we fill our lives with fear, afraid that somebody is going to reject us because we just couldn't stand the thought of somebody not liking us or loving us. Right? If they figure out what I'm really like, I don't think they could handle it. So what we're really saying is people don't like you, they like the image of you. That goes back to that persona. But see, this is where we have to drop those masks, we have to drop the coverings, we have to you know, back a dozen years ago or so, the big words in the church was that we have to be real, that we have to be authentic. Right? Yeah, that works. But we hide that because being real and being authentic is the truth. And as we all know, we can't handle the truth. Or at least it's very difficult. If you guys really knew what I was like, if we had a video up here of every thought that I would have for a 24-hour period, you guys would say, "I'm never going to go listen to that guy preach again." And that's what makes it difficult to get up here and present message, is because I'm not getting up here and preaching as one that's got it figured out and is perfect. I'm getting up here as one of you, hopefully sharing with you the things that I know I need help with and struggle with. I'm afraid if you know who I really am, you'll resent me. And so I'm filled with fear. And I try to play God so that you'll like me. And we all do it. Number two, how about the frustration that comes with that? It is frustrating to try to be the general manager of the universe. Remember when that job came available in the paper? We all signed up for it. Thought it'd be a promotion, right? Be the general manager of the universe. Now, those that know me and know my grandkids, at least the oldest four, from Charlotte, Lane, Jace, and Jude, it's been known on occasion I like to take them to Chuck E. Cheese. Okay? That place is great. Okay? They got the hand stamp. You walk in there, and they got the invisible number that nobody can see. And those kids run around like crazy for 2 or 3 hours, whatever I let them stay in there. Okay? I will say this, the last time we were there, Charlotte got in trouble twice. So not that that's a big shocker, right? But so they, and I don't know if you've been to Chuck E. Cheese lately. I have. And so they've got new events in there. So they've got an obstacle course and a trampoline now. Of course, that is extra. That costs extra from the others. So you can't go in there unless you pay. Well, so I'm there on my phone, you know, looking around for the kids every once in a while to see where they're at, because they can't get out because they got this name tag. They got this tag on them. Okay? So they're running around. I see Jace over there. I see Jude. I wonder where Charlotte's at. About that time, a lady from the restaurant comes up there and she's holding a pair of shoes and Charlotte by the hand and she goes, Does this belong to you? I was like, no. Yeah, no. I was like, yes, yes, she does. And she goes, well, she was wanted to go in the trampoline, and you know that costs more. And I was like, yeah, we don't do that. And she's like, well, she was underneath the trampoline, and we were afraid she was going to get hurt. So, but she did leave her shoes outside, so she was being, you know. So I was like, okay. So we came back in, put her shoes back on, let her go back out. Same thing, about 10 minutes later, I'm looking around. Jace, hey, Papa. You know, Jude, where's Charlotte? So I go back, and she's over. I find her inside, which is an extra bonus cost, right, for Chuck E. Cheese, inside the obstacle course, talking to some other little girl her age. And apparently, they were having quite the conversation. But anyway, so I like get up there and I'm like, Charlotte, cause I can't go in there. I'm like, what are you doing? Get out here. And there's this dad standing there next to her. I don't know if it was the dad or the gal that was Charlotte was talking to, but I'm like, okay, how did you get in there? He goes, she just crawled under the fence. The guy, I was like, oh, okay. And I looked at the lady that's there that, you know, you're supposed to pay. And I said, so she didn't. And she's just like, I just let her go. And so I was like, okay. So anyway. But anyway, all that to say this. So there's a game that we grew up known as whack-a-mole, right? If you go to Chuck E. Cheese, it's now called Angry Birds, okay? Anyway, so if I refer to it as whack-a-mole, that's what I grew up with it as. We go there, we like to play whack-a-mole, right? Because what happens? You take the hammer, and you hit the mole, and it goes down. We are in control. And then what happens? Another mole pops up. Boom! And we think then the faster we move, the more in control we are, right? But guess what happens? The mole always wins. It always comes back up again. You know, and we talk about how much we're in control. We're talking about how great this is that we can control everything. But yet, in the back of our mind, it's frustrating because we can't control everything. And we think if we move faster and if we try harder, that we're going to make this happen. But that's the way it is in our own life. So we whack this problem, and guess what happens? Another one comes up. We whack down one relationship conflict, and guess what happens? Another problem arises. It's frustrating because you can't get them all knocked down at the same time. And we know we are people that want to win. And we walk around this life pretending that we are God. I am powerful. I can handle it. So here's the question that has to enter our mind. If we're so powerful, if we can beat the whack-a-mole, then why don't we? But we continue to go in there one at a time and hit it when really all we have to do is walk around the whack-a-mole machine and unplug the stupid thing. And guess who wins? Do we ever do that? Have you ever done that? I've never done that. I go there every time, swipe the card, and I still try to hit the whack-a-mole or the Angry Birds. See how we do things over and over again in our life? Is it not frustrating? Do you think it's frustrating for us? What do you think the Lord thinks when He looks down at us? Paul realized frustration, Romans chapter 7. Remember, we looked at that last week. The very thing I want to do, I don't. The very thing I know I need to stay away from draws me in. David's much the same way in Psalms 32, and we'll look at that in our next point. But if you're frustrated, it is a symptom of a deeper problem that we have not dealt with our root issue, and that root issue is we are not God. I'm not God. You're not God. But yet we're still trying to control everything. And guess what it's going to do? It's going to frustrate us. Not only does it bring about frustration, it brings about fatigue. It brings about fatigue. We all know it's tiring playing God. Trying to control everything, pretending that we've got it all together. Denial takes a lot of energy. Psalm 32, 3 and 4 says, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away." Because David just thought, I can keep it to myself. He says, his body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with fever heat of the summer. The whole idea here is that you're out in a mountainous area. The sun's been beaten down on these rocks. They've become hot, and you pour the water on the rocks, and then you go back later and you expect you're going to be able to lap that up and drink it. It's going to be evaporated. It's gone. That's what it says, trying to deal with the problems without God. God's heavy hand is weighing us down. You know what that's called? Conviction. It's telling us that maybe we need to repent. That maybe we need to change our ways. And the Lord is saying, you're frustrated. You're fatigued. I have to watch the whole universe do this and go through it. Most people try to hide their pain and run from their pain by keeping busy. And we've all heard people, we've heard some people from time to time say, you know, I just don't like the way I feel when I slow down. Well, there's a reason why the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. I don't like the sounds that go through my mind when I lay my head back on my pillow. I do not like those feelings and those sounds, so I just keep busy. We run from pain by constantly being on the go. We work ourselves to death. Or we get into some hobby or some sort of thing that becomes a compulsion. Maybe it's the golf course. Maybe it's Pinterest. Maybe we're online doing something. Maybe it's the tennis court. Or in nowadays, maybe it's the pickleball court. And there's nothing wrong in those things in themselves. But are we using them to replace what God wants to do for us? Sometimes we even then justify the good. We get involved in the church more. But see, we got to be really careful that we don't get so involved in the church more that we forget it's about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if we're doing good things, it can hide my pain. So I'm making a substitution. So that's good. No, we're hoping that we'll be so tired that when we lay our head down on our pillow at night, that we're fatigued so much that we'll have to go to sleep and not hear our own pain. You know, if we're in a constant state of fatigue, always worn out, maybe we need to ask ourselves, so what pain am I running from? What problem do I not want to face? What problem is motivating me and drives me to work and work and work so that I am constantly in a stage of fatigue? And lastly, when we try to play God, we're going to find out this right away. We're going to fail. We're going to fail. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." We can't hide our struggles from God. He knows them. He wants to be there to walk through them with us. But if we just confess them, and see, that's where I said all of these things that we talk about, they're not just struggles that we're going through. It's just not a moment in our life. It's sin that is causing us problems. Because see, we're going to be free of all of these things when we go to heaven. Why? Because sin won't be there. But we have them here on earth and we gather them up as Christians. Why? I should say we just gather them up as people. But it's the Christians that have the opportunity to release them here on this earth. You know, when we try to play God, this is one job description we're guaranteed to fail at. I suggest that we don't play God, but rather we come to God in faith. Knowing that He will be there for us. That He wants for us to let Him take care of so many of those struggles in our life that we feel, I've got to do this. But the Lord says, you don't have to. Let me help. The biggest decision we'll ever make is one that we can't get to the ultimate desire on our own. And that biggest decision is that we want to be saved. And we cannot save ourselves. Jesus Christ is the one who saves. He's given us that free gift. He's given us that plan of salvation. He has told us that we need to come to Him in faith, believing that He is God. That we need to repent of our sins, the sins that put Him on the cross, the sins that we struggle with each and every day, that we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that we need to be immersed, that we are just dead men being lowered into a grave, and we arise to walk in the new life, a life of faithfulness, a life where we let God lead. And all we have to simply do is respond, yes, Lord, lead me, and I will follow. If you're outside of Jesus Christ today and struggle with these things today, please talk to somebody. But you know what? A message like this, again, is for all Christians. We all struggle. We all have sin. Yes, we've had our sin forgiven. But many times we hold on to it. And the Lord's saying, let it go. Come to me, and I will give you rest, ultimate peace in Jesus Christ. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?